A reading from the book of Numbers. When Balaam raised his eyes and saw Israel encamped, tribe by tribe, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he gave voice to his oracle. The utterance of Balaam, son of Beor, the utterance of a man whose eye is true, the utterance of one who hears what God says and knows what the Most High knows, of one who sees what the Almighty sees, enraptured and with eyes unveiled. How goodly are your tents, O Jacob, your encampments, O Israel. They are like gardens beside a stream, like the cedars planted by the Lord. His wells shall yield free-flowing waters. He shall have the sea within reach. His king shall rise higher, and his royalty shall be exalted. Then Balaam gave voice to his oracle, the utterance of Balaam, son of Beor, the utterance of the man whose eye is true, the utterance of one who hears what God says and knows what the Most High knows, of one who sees what the Almighty sees, enraptured and with eyes unveiled. I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel. The word of the Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your kindness are from of old. In your kindness, remember me, because of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice. He teaches the humble his way.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
When Jesus had come into the temple area, the chief priests and the elders of the people approached him as he was teaching, and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them in reply, "I shall ask you one question, and if you answer it for me, then I shall tell you by what authority I do these things. Where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin?" They discussed this among themselves and said, "If we say of heavenly origin, he will say to us, 'Then why did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we fear the crowd, for they all regard John as a prophet." So they said to Jesus in reply, "We do not know." He himself said to them, "Neither shall I tell you by what authority I do these things."
Verbum Domini.
The context of our first reading today from the book of Numbers is when Balak, the king of Moab, tried to hire the seer or the prophet Balaam to curse the Israelites when they were preparing to enter Canaan. The king wanted to defeat the Israelites by supernatural means, by cursing them. But when the seer attempted to do so, he was only capable of blessing them and giving assurances of their victory. This is also when God used a donkey to speak to the seer. St. Thomas Aquinas interpreted that passage as an example of angelic dominion over visible creatures. So that would have been an angel speaking through the donkey to the prophet to convey the message to Balaam. Again, when Balaam attempted to curse the Israelites, he was only able to speak blessings upon them. So we're reminded of the promise that God made to Abraham earlier on in Genesis, when he said, "I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse." And those blessings upon Israel came in four oracles through the seer Balaam. These oracles made it clear that Israel was chosen by God among the nations, that it was impossible to defy God's will. No matter how hard he tried to curse the Israelites, they would only be blessed. That Israel would be victorious over its enemies. And fourthly, as we heard in today's reading, that a Messiah would come. The prophet says, "I see him, though not now. I behold him, though not near. A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff from Israel." So this oracle, it foresees the coming of Christ, whose birth, as we know, was signaled by a star, the Star of Bethlehem. So from early on, Jewish traditions link this text from the book of Numbers concerning the coming of the Messiah with the appearing of a star. It also foreshadows the arrival of the Magi, those wise men from the east who recognized the sign of the newborn king. And they followed that star, leading them to the cave in Bethlehem to adore the Messiah, the Christ child laid in a manger. And this oracle that we heard about in our first reading today by Balaam, it strengthens as well two earlier prophecies that we hear in the book of Genesis. First, it states that a scepter, or in today's translation from the lectionary, says a staff, shall advance from Jacob. So this calls to mind Jacob's last words to his sons on his deathbed, when he says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs." So this oracle connects the Messiah with the tribe of Judah and the promise of a scepter, meaning that he will have dominion over all. We know that Christ is the king of all nations. He's the king of the universe. And the second prophecy is what immediately follows the last line of our reading today, but it's also very important. So we only heard the conclusion of our first reading today, we only heard half of verse 17 from Numbers 24. It said, "A star shall advance from Jacob, and a staff shall rise from Israel." Now the second half of this verse says, "It shall crush the forehead of Moab and break down all the sons of Sheth." So that image of crushing the forehead should bring us back to Genesis 3:15, with the promise that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. So the Messiah would be a king from the line of Judah who will crush the head of the serpent, of the enemy, and ultimately, as we know, the enemy of our souls. So this reading today from Numbers was a great source of hope for the Israelites who are awaiting the coming of the Messiah. And we relive that hope, we relive that expectation in these days of Advent, preparing for the Lord's coming again. And in the gospel today, we see the chief priests and the elders questioning the Lord publicly about his authority. They're upset because he challenged them, and they felt threatened. Remember, they had just witnessed the crowds earlier, prior to this, chanting to him that he is the King of David as he came in on a donkey into the city. So they had witnessed this. They had witnessed him overturning the money tables in the temple. They had witnessed him right after he drove out the money changers. He had healed the lame and the blind. And they felt very threatened. And so now they tried to trap him by putting this question to him. "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you this authority?" So they wanted to trap him into either saying that he had not the authority from God or to say that he comes from God, and they wanted to use that as a foothold to charge him for blasphemy. Our Lord responds with a question addressed to them. And it's not simply to change the topic, but he also wanted to show, the continuity between John's mission and his own. That just as John the Baptist's authority came from God, so does his. He is God. He's God in the flesh. And it was at John the Baptist, as at the baptism of Jesus, that we hear that heavenly voice from God the Father, right, saying, "This is my beloved Son." So when the Lord asked them, where was John's baptism from? Was it of heavenly or of human origin? They were in turn put on the spot. They tried to put him on the spot. He put them on the spot. They could either express their thought that it was not from God, but then were told they feared the people because everybody was going to John, right? St. Matthew said that. All Jerusalem, all Judea, everyone was going to John. They believed he truly was from God. So it wasn't just a few people on the fringes that believed in John. The other option for the chief priests and the elders would be to say that John's baptism mission was from God, but then they'd be admitting that they opposed God themselves, right? That they refused to believe John, who was sent by God. Because John also clearly pointed out Jesus to others. And he said, "That's the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God." So as a result, they back off and they reply that they didn't know. Our Lord didn't answer their question either because he also knew their hardened hearts. Right? We know through the Gospels that our Lord was often willing to engage people in conversation and in dialogue to instruct them. But he also knows our hearts. And if someone's heart is hardened and are not seeking the truth, he's not going to engage with them. That's why here at times the Lord was silent. But these chief priests and the elders, they simply wanted to trap the Lord. Again, nothing that he would have said would have led to their conversion at that moment. And he knew that. He knew they had hardened their hearts, and he respected that. He allowed them to remain in their hardness. And perhaps if they had been asking out of a sincere desire for truth, he would have answered their question more directly. But since they had bad intent, he answered with a question that they were not able to answer or would not want to answer because of its consequences. But as we hear today of the chief priests and the elders not accepting the authority of Christ, we renew and turn our submission to Christ, who is the King of the universe, and he has all authority and all power.